The way that most client journeys are approached are a preset of movements, a paint by number, such as the perfect client fulfillment checklist, or putting time into building the perfect onboarding email sequence. And you might be thinking, you know, if I just got more leads, or if I just had a better onboarding process, like I said, that would solve your customer journey needs. There are three things we want you to know as you scale your business so that your clients feel the way you want them to feel when they work with you. And these three things, these pivots will change everything in your business as you serve your clients. Let's dig in. In today's crowded business space, how do you take the mystery out of growing clients who stay long-term and refer like crazy? And what is it going to take to set you apart from your competitors? What would happen if every activity in your business was driving loyal customers who want to refer other people to you so it's easy to fill your pipeline with more leads, book perfect fit clients on your calendar? Hey there, we're Jody and Daryl Beckert, and you're listening to the Retention and Referrals Made Simple podcast. This is the place for people who want to build their businesses organically so they can get more sales without using any sleazy or awkward tactics. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to be here. Let's dive in. We are here with a brand new episode for you. And you know, as humans, it's quite natural to think if I just had a better onboarding process, then my clients would feel a certain way. While onboarding is a small aspect of the whole client journey, there's plenty you can also consider when it comes to defining the experience you want your clients to have and they deserve to have. There isn't very many good tools out there that properly address the client's journey, as well as positioning you as the expert and guide who actually got them there in the first place. And today we want to show you what to leverage so that the hard work that you put into serving your clients in developing your systems is reaping the benefits of the efforts that you are going to put into it. And ultimately, orchestrating a customer journey for how we want our clients to feel versus solving the problem as maybe you think that you see it to be. So naturally, as experts, you have a process for which you take your clients through. And naturally, you want your clients to feel a certain way while this is happening. And to do this, whether you know it or not, you are taking the customer through a journey.
But there's a problem that gets in our way of understanding, you know, what journey this actually is that we're taking them on. And I call it solution-oriented problem solving. Basically, it's a way of saying that the value of a solution is only as good as our ability to understand the problem. So for a simple problem, a solution-oriented approach is often fine because the problem is small and simple. So an example would be like, if I run out of butter, I go to the grocery store and get more butter. But when it comes to problems that are more complicated, especially involving, say, our customers, it becomes a lot more difficult to understand and diagnose just what exactly is the problem. How would I solve it? And what impact does that solution have elsewhere in my business? So what often happens is that we bring over the solution-oriented problem-solving approach based on what we think the problem is, and we implement it into a segment of our business without really thinking about how it fits and plays with anything else. And there lies the bigger problem, and the one that we're going to address today. How do you actually define the term customer journey? For us, the customer journey isn't a specific phase, time, place, or event, but it's actually a sequence of intentional experiences of which there are four main experiences that any customer will navigate with you. So often when some people are thinking about customer journey, they think about lead generation, all of the preparation that leads to someone buying with you for the first time. And so tactically, they would look at things like email sequences and their ads and things like that as the way to deal with the customer journey. Mm-hmm. For some other people, they look at onboarding. And they say, oh man, onboarding is, if I can just get my clients started, then everything is going to be great. I've nailed the experience if I've got their onboarding right. Other people will look at their fulfillment, how they actually, you know, do how their system works or how their process works. And they'll say, okay, if I do that, then they're totally going to see how much better my solution is than someone else. And then often we'll also see people saying like, oh man, if we have the right ask at the right end, people are just going to refer me like magic. They're going to leave a testimonial. They're going to leave a review, whatever it is, the thing that I want.
Mm-hmm. Or like the natural nurturing process where they're emailing their clients just the right amount. So they're not bothering them. So they don't, you know, unsubscribe. That's that natural retention process that people go through, right?
Yeah, totally. And yet there's a bit of a problem for all of the things that I was just talking about, which is they are entirely me-focused, self-business-focused. Mm-hmm. And yet here we have these people, this group of people, our clients, our customers, and we want them to do something. And I want to do that because I want something. Mm-hmm. I want them to come to me. I want them to like get started because my thing is so awesome. I want them to actually get success. These aren't all bad things, but the driver in that is inherently self-interested. So what does it look like to look at that a different way? Because that fundamentally is the problem. We can't just make people do things. So where that takes us to is that all of our systems, if we don't ever look at it from outside of our own lens, we set them up trying to get people to do the next thing for us, buy our next thing, stay on our list, be successful. So we run the risk of like doing success to people rather than giving them a chance to actually be part of success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was having a conversation with a client and she was talking about how in the past, she always felt like if she was, for example, like in the retention space, she was asking for them to leave a review. She was, before she was feeling really like she was asking them to do a favor. And so, that wasn't her being very in control of, she felt like she was doing success to people versus them being a part of doing the success together, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. And so with any problem, there's another way to solve a problem outside of just trying to go at the solution as you understand it, which is cultivating a mindset of curiosity. What don't I know? And so if you take a posture like that, we can be open to saying, well, what if the customer journey is something different than I thought? Or what if there is more to it than how I understand it? What would I be receptive to? From our perspective, when we talk about the customer journey, client experience, terms like that, what we're actually talking about are four distinct phases that are not separate, but they're actually like a concurrent connected sequence. And so those four phases start with one that we call awareness. You would think of this as lead acquisition, marketing, things like that. This is someone who is becoming aware of their own problem, how it's manifesting in their life. They're becoming aware of you as potentially a solution to it. And it is an exploration. They are becoming aware of, you know, is this something that I want to work on or not? And it's a critical phase because what they decide in awareness sets them up to get started into the second phase we call anticipation. They've actually made a decision and they're looking forward to getting started. They're looking forward to it actually starting to solve their problem. And they need to get started the right way. Otherwise, it runs the risk of just being another thing that they've bought and they regret buying. Mm-hmm. Which leads us to the third phase, which we call accomplishment. This is about actually getting somebody results, but more than just doing results to them, but actually having them understand that they were a part of the results and creating some ownership of the results, which allows them to arrive to a place where things are different because of what they've just been able to accomplish. This is the place where you generate a customer for life. You generate someone who looks at things differently because you have allowed them that space to be able to do that. Things like referrals and reviews and all of these things that we want come naturally to a client who has arrived. The major challenge we see is that we don't really see people talking about four integrated phases. These are typically actioned separately.
And I think if they are talking about them, Daryl, they are usually... They're focusing on one or two of them, but they're not really sequencing all of them as one big piece. And I know that's what we're talking about today because, you know, we lean towards the marketing. We lean towards the onboarding. We lean towards how can I get them started so they don't, you know, so they know that this is the best money that they have spent with us. And so there's this tendency to just work towards and give our clients the things that are like the easy things to give them, or the ones that feel sexy, or the ones that feel like that are easier to focus on.
Or surface. Mm-hmm. Another term, like quick wins. I like quick wins as a way of helping somebody get used to something new.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point it has to go deeper than just a quick win. Otherwise we create like a culture of people who are just, you know, like they're dopamine addicts. They want the next little quick hit from everybody and they never really stop and go deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the challenge we'll see is that these are often addressed separated. So in a completely isolated environment. So onboarding, for instance, is, you know, here's how to do onboarding. It's a super important phase. But if I don't ever really take stock of what am I onboarding someone from, what am I onboarding them to, and where do I want that to successfully go? If those aren't considered, you know, we're only going to partially onboard somebody. A lot of the times what I see actually happening is you get intellectual onboarding, but you never actually get emotional onboarding. And so they know what to do, but they're not necessarily fully on board with why they're doing it.
Yeah, we see this a lot with some of the new clients that come to us. They want from us what they think will solve their problem, but in reality, there is some time that we have to take to spend some time addressing and find out what is actually the root problem. Because when we know that we can find the root problem, then we can find the solution that will help with the overall problem that your problem is, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it starts with that saying, well, what if the problem that you think that you have isn't the problem that you're actually having? And let's figure that out so we can actually solve it properly.
Yeah. Today, we want to give you three ways to help you to understand this. And it will change everything if you want to scale your business and for your clients to feel a certain way when they work with you. So we want to share those.
And these three ways are going to allow what you create to be even greater than just the sum of the parts. And so the first thing that I want to consider is that these four segments of your journey need to be considered at the same time. So if I'm going to be actioning my lead acquisition process, my early marketing, my early conversation with the clients, if I'm actioning that, I need to think about the remaining three phases to make sure that what I'm saying, how I'm saying it, is something that is going to be consistent all the way through the experience. Otherwise, we're setting someone up. We could acquire somebody successfully with a strategy, but then they have a different experience because the onboarding team and the fulfillment team speak a different language. And so we always want to consider the other three when we're working on one segment. That is the first takeaway that I would put out there. Which leads us to the second, which is don't try to pursue a solution in isolation. If I'm looking to get client referrals at the end of a successful transaction, don't just start there. The way to actually successfully create a referring client is actually by considering that right when you first meet them. The way to successfully onboard a client is actually to consider that right when you first meet them and understand that you've been onboarding them the whole time. You've been having conversations. You've been onboarding them the whole time that they've been seeing your ads or responding to different things, downloading your PDF, whatever it is. They are getting used to the idea of solving a problem a different way or doing it with you, getting used to what that could potentially do for them. And so when you actually get to the actual onboarding part, you already have the framework of the language. And if we are then considering how you fulfill it, there's continuity between all of those things. And the third and the biggest one I would say is that the consistency and the flow of these is far more important than the level at which you execute. Said another way, one of these segments done perfectly, not connected to the other three, is going to be much less successful than a simple version of all four of them working in harmony.
As you're talking about that, I was just thinking how when we go on hikes with the kids, we always say to the kids that, you know, we're going to start hiking at a pace that we actually really want to finish at. And that made me think of the client journey and how we start with clients a certain way. It's the easy things, it's the fun things, it's the quick wins, it's getting them started, it's the marketing. But then how often do we, when we don't have some systems in place and we don't know what to do or what our client needs in the later stages, that's where consistency and flow can fall off the map a little bit. And, you know, we're not ending that process as strong as we want to.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you've heard another common saying, which is like, begin with the end in mind. Mm-hmm. Like, if we know where we're taking somebody and we're trying to match that pace and be consistent, it is going to be a lot more fun for us, for one. And it's going to be a lot more fun for them. They're actually going to understand it and experience it better, which means it actually covers up having to do any one thing perfectly. You can get away with, even the wrong way to say it. You can actually thrive by having a fairly simple implementation across all four, but because someone's really able to connect with it, because it's consistent, it will have more of an effect than having the perfect ads and then no follow through.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the perfect sales call, but my fulfillment team is lousy. You're better off being average at all four together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know that that's counterintuitive. That does not seem right. But I can tell you that that thinking of the whole journey and doing it consistently just creates more than the sum of the individual parts of your system.
Yeah. And we know, those of you listening, we know you want to scale your businesses. We know that you want your clients to feel a certain way when they work with you. And taking these three shifts into the whole client journey will be key. So let's go through those again one more time, like, so that the listeners can start to really think about their own customer journey that they're giving their clients. So what's the first one?
We need to think about that all of our efforts are a sequence, and they are not separated by any kind of boundary. So the different phases of what we would do with somebody are all part of one master journey that someone's having.
Mm-hmm. And we cannot be trying to solve a problem by just like going into one of the segments and solving it and then jumping back out, because it won't actually solve the problem the way we think it actually is. It's actually instead just putting a Band-Aid on that solution for temporarily. It doesn't actually create the lifelong strength that I think that our listeners want to have in their business.
Yeah, and that was point number two. We can't solve in isolation. A great example of that would be if I have a headache, well, a solution-oriented approach is like, we'll take a Tylenol or whatever. But if I only ever go that depth, I mean, I could be having headaches constantly. And that's my solution. I'm solving that. The way to look at our whole body is a connection, or is a system of interconnected systems. I might be getting headaches because I'm not drinking enough water. Well, a Tylenol Band-Aids it. But if I realize, oh man, this is actually a water and a sleep issue, well, I can actually solve that with other systems, and I give my whole body experience what it needs. Which kind of leads in, it's a great analogy leading into the third one, which is that consistency and connection and flow are far more important than any one of these elements being done perfectly. So, you know, using that headache analogy, if I got great sleep, ate fairly well, exercised, drank water, you know, stretching, maybe massage therapy or whatever, this is sort of the source of my headaches often is muscle tension. I may never have to take a Tylenol again. I may never have to Band-Aid that solution again, because I've actually solved the real problem. And the real problem is actually much more nuanced than just like headache solved with Tylenol. And so, you know, segueing into that, you know, what are the Tylenol things that you're doing in your business? What are the things that you're trying to solve with a really quick, understandable Band-Aid that might actually be a symptom of a much larger problem that you just don't understand? Looking into this with what we said, I mean, we need to look at understanding that our efforts need to be linked together across these four phases of the client experience. We can't solve any of them without considering the impact on the others, and that we want them to kind of flow together naturally, and that's actually more valuable. I'm would kind of challenge you to look at what is going on in your business with some curiosity and say, well, what is the problem I understand it to be? But what if it could be something else? How would I know? How would I figure that out? This curiosity, when you're doing it on behalf of your client, is where the magic comes from in your business, right? Thinking to yourself, well, how could they be interpreting this? What do I want them to feel? How confused are they in this moment? Is the email that I'm sending them helpful or not helpful? Is the phone call I'm about to make helpful or not helpful? Does it help them feel something better or does it just confuse them more? These are the kinds of questions that take us to a different level of problem solving.
Yeah, and as far as we see, there just really aren't very many good tools out there that properly address the client's emotional journey, as well as positioning you as this expert and guide who got them there, and as well the feeling that you want them to have when they work with you.
And with regards to that feeling, it's actually that feeling that client creates through their experience, which is the one that ultimately guides them towards doing the things that you actually would like. If they have a great feeling, that feeling is often what drives them to a great referral situation. That feeling gives them like, oh man, I want to share this and I'm going to, you know, post a Google review about it. I'm going to talk to my friend about it, whatever. I'm going to come back because that was so great. I want to do that again. It's the feeling that is actually what we're crafting in a client experience. And it's greater than any one specific tactic that we use to bring awareness of it. All right, so here's a challenge for you. Right now, grab out a pen, paper, or notes app on your phone, and just write down something simple. What do you want your client to feel when they are done working with you? And I'm curious, if you're willing, share it with us. We can be reached here. You can leave a comment. You can connect with us directly. And I'm really curious to take that into your business, that curiosity of like, how do I want them to feel? And as always, we'll be able to see you back here on another episode. We will continue to talk about these subjects. This is the part of client experience that we are so passionate about. And we are excited to be able to share with you and get you asking those questions and how you can step up more for your clients and cultivate a culture of curiosity and success.
We'll see you next time.